Amen. Still the blood. Amen. Just bear with me. My voice is having a time. So I tried working it this afternoon, and it said, "You're not going to do that to me." And it's like, okay. So take your Bibles tonight. Go to Romans. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And I haven't had my voice do this in years. It's amazing. But anyway, God's good. And when I'm weak, then am I strong. So my prayer is that you get, I'm not here to entertain. I'm just here to preach. And so we'll do our best by the grace of God and trust that the Lord will give you a blessing or whatever the need is tonight. But Romans chapter 14, look at verse 12, a very familiar verse. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's bow our heads forward a prayer. Father God, I thank you for the blood. It is still the blood, God, that cleanses from sin. And God, I thank you for the day that I was washed in the blood. God, if there's anybody here tonight that's never been washed in the blood, pray tonight would be that night. God, for those of us that are saved, Lord, would you please speak to our hearts whatever the need is tonight. God, I pray that you'd bless, help me, Lord. God, I am counting on thee to deliver this message. God, that you'd be pleased and your people and the listeners tonight would get what you want. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Bible says every one of us going to give an account to God. And the lost are going to give an account to God at the white throne judgment. And we're going to give an account to God at the judgment seat of Christ. But one day you are going to stand before God. And I don't know how much you think about that or what that means to you, but it should be a very sobering thought that you're going to stand before God. And if you are saved, what you did for him after you got saved, I mean, the way you live, the works, so those things are going to come before God. You're going to give an account of your life, the lost, obviously, at the white throne judgment. And to fail at the judgment is to fail. Let me say that again. To fail at the judgment is to fail. It's too late to make things right at the judgment. When you are at the judgment, whether it's judgment seat of Christ or the white throne, if you're lost, white throne, but it'll be too late to try to correct it or straighten things out. And to fail at the judgment means your life was a failure. I mean, that's it. You will stand one day. As I get older, it's amazing how Satan, I guess it's the devil, I don't know, maybe I blame too much on him. But a lot of my failures, my past, is brought up. And it's done in a way to try to grind me in the ground, discourage me. And maybe some of you go through that, I don't know. And to know where you let God down or where you failed in life or you blew it or that sort of thing. But if you're a Christian and you don't serve the Lord, like I mentioned this morning, that job that God has for you to do, and you're not faithful to his call for your life, then there will be a time of 1,000 years where it's going to be obvious whether or not you love God, whether or not you served him. And that's the millennium for the Christian. For the lost, they go to the lake of fire after the white throne judgment, and they're burning. I mean, it just, Boy, don't just make sure this very, very important stuff for us that are saved. Once eternity begins, the Bible says the former things shall not come to mind. We'll not think about this life and down here and all this stuff. It's not going to come to mind. The only thing that's going to remind us when we're in heaven, when we're in eternity, the only thing that will remind us of this life are the holes in the hands of our Savior, the holes in His hands, His feet, and the hole in His side. And we'll see that. We'll have an understanding, obviously, much greater than we do now. And it will remind us of this life. But for the most part, it won't come to mind. For the lost, it's different. In Luke 16, the rich man's in hell, and Abraham says, "Son, remember, remember, remember." And in hell, it is magnified. Why didn't I get saved? Why didn't I get saved? I had the opportunity. I mean, it's just, when you, I don't know if you ever meditate on hell and then the lake of fire, but it just is very sobering to think of people going there. But one day you will stand before God, and that should motivate you and I to want to be right with God. There ought to be a desire in your soul tonight to be right with God and to know that you're pleasing God. You're doing what His will for your life. You're living your life right, because one day you're going to give an account. And I heard a sermon, and preacher said that a guy came up to him and gave him a book on how to pray. And this guy had written it. And he said, "Preacher, would you read this book? Tell me what you think." And he said, "All right." And so he read the book and then saw the guy some weeks later, and he said, "So what did you think?" And he said, "Well, brother," he said, "before I read your book, I thought I knew how to pray." He said, "Now," he said, I'm not quite sure." He said, "You've taken something easy and made it hard. And tonight, my goal is not to do that. My goal is not to take something easy and make it hard. But I want to preach on the subject of how to get right with God. How to get right with God." And this is a sermon subject that is classic evangelist. By that I mean evangelists can preach any number of subjects, but with the type of call on an evangelist is you need to get right with God. And a missionary, they can preach a number of subjects, and generally it will get back to souls need to be saved. They're a missionary. A pastor, if it's a preacher's meeting, will get up and preach, and generally he'll give you last week's sermon. But it'll be some Bible, and it'll be good. And he'll just give you some Bible that will help you. But as an evangelist, it's get right, get right, get right. You better get right with God. And so this is right in my realm, you might say. And I want to say, number one, in order to get right with God, before you do anything, the first step in getting right with God is in your mind, in your heart, in your being, whatever you want to say, you need to recognize that God is right. You say, "Well, of course God's right." But that's not always easy to admit. You say, "What do you mean?" If you got a little child, and that little child has cancer, is going to die, it's hard to say, "God, you're right." That's hard. There's a brother I know, he told me, I didn't realize this happened, but his son, I think he was married, committed suicide, and hard for him to say, God, you're right. You're right. You say, what do you mean God's right? Well, you know he could have stopped it, right? You know he could heal somebody, right? He could have prevented the tragedy that occurred. Could he not? Amen. Is God all-powerful? He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's our Savior. Then he could have stopped what happened. And he didn't. And you have to get to the point where you say, God, you're right. Now, you may have to wrestle. Have you ever wrestled with the Lord? Have you ever had to wrestle with the Lord over things? There's been some things in my life over the years I had to wrestle. There's been some times in my life and some things in my life I could not thank God for them. It was like, Lord, I love you. And it was like, you need to thank me. And I mean, it took weeks. And I had to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle with that thing. And finally, I saw the hand of God use the heartache in the ministry. And use the heartache in a way that would help somebody. And I said, God, if you can use this curse and turn it into a blessing, thank you. But I had to get to the point where I could thank God and say, Lord, you're right. We may know it in our head. There may you say, well, of course God's right, but in your heart, you hadn't accepted it. In your heart, it's like, you could have stopped it, God. You could have stopped it. Why didn't you stop it, God? You got to wrestle with that thing. You got to get alone with him and say, God, why? And you wrestle. Don't try to convince God he's wrong. I've tried to do that. It doesn't work. You say, you didn't. I did. I won't go into the details. I don't have time. But I mean, I'm like, now, God, I don't believe you should have done that. He said, oh, really? You got some things to learn. It was not long after Bible school, you know, and you're raring to go, you know, all that stuff. And then it was a little while after that, I said, God, you know what you're doing. And I see it now. But even if you don't see it, you've got to acknowledge, God, you're right. The first step in getting right with God is recognizing, Lord, you're right. And there's people. One of the biggest causes of Christians to get out of church is they get mad at God. They get upset with God. Lord, you shouldn't have done this, done that. The first step in getting right is getting, I don't want to say getting over it, because just to accept that God is right doesn't mean you're over it. You may have to wrestle and weep. Listen, let me ask you something tonight. If you want to get right with God, there's things in your heart. God knows they're there, right? If they're there, have you told God about it? Have you told God how you feel? Have you got alone and been honest with him? Say, Lord, I don't think this was right, and I don't think this is this, or just have a time of complaining. Now, again, there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. Don't try to convince him that he's wrong, but you can go to God, and you can say, God, I don't think this is right. I know you always do right, Lord. And I know your ways are not my ways. And you acknowledge who he is and say, God, then I had to do this. I said, God, I realize you're holy. You don't make any mistakes. But God, this hurts. And I don't understand and I don't like it. It doesn't seem right. You say, what's going on? I'm getting right with God. I'm letting God be God. and acknowledging, Lord, I may not understand everything, but one thing I know, you're right. And you got to do that. Man, in this Laodicean age, rebellion, rebellion, rebellion abounds. And it's time to quit rebelling against God and submitting, saying, God, and if you got to wrestle, you got to wrestle. But you got to be honest with him. You got to have it out with him. The longer I'm saved, the more I'm aware that God is so far above me. He sees things in me that aren't right. You know, there just might be something in you that just isn't right. Do you know that? Go to Matthew 7. Go to Matthew 7. Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Look at Matthew chapter 7. You know the verse, but this is an ominous verse. It really is. I use it a lot. I go to it a lot. But look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. This is a judgment. They're standing before God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. See that thing? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They thought they were the apple of God's eye. They did. Till the day they died, they thought, I have served the Lord. They end up in hell. There's just possibility that something in you just may not be right. And I'm not trying to preach retreads, as they say. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. That's not what I'm getting at. But I'm just saying God's aware there's been things in my life that he convicted me on. And I'd been doing them for years. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. And when I repented, got it right, there was a peace. But it was like, I had no idea. And we're talking saved in the ministry. Years. And God putting his finger on things. And me, I don't know if I grew enough or I don't know what it was. But finally getting it going, man, I'm not right. That's not right. And I had to repent. And there's things that the Lord will deal with you about. And as it says in Revelation 3, be zealous therefore and repent. Oh man, this age, they don't like that word. I mean, I thank God. I mean, I couldn't shout tonight because my voice. But in that, the old account was settled, you know. And it says, repent of all your sin. I thought, praise God. There's hymnals that have taken the word repent out. Do you know that? It's not there. It says, be cleansed of all your sin. It's like, that ain't the original. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, they don't like that word, repent. Listen, other than prayer, repentance is the beginning of getting right with God. Repentance is the beginning of revival. It's needful. And Lord's going to deal with you about things. You may think, you know, certain things right. And as you grow, you're going to be aware of things. Listen, there's things I've had to repent of that if they were put on me a year after I got saved, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. It would have been too much. And you've got to grow and you got to grow and you got to grow. The first step, getting right with God, Lord, you're right. You're right. And getting to the point where you can say, I've got no complaints with you, Lord. And if you've got some complaints with God, you need to talk to him. You say, well, I'm not supposed to be that way. But you are. how you're supposed to be and reality, there's a great gulf fixed between. And it's getting to where you're supposed to be. You got to be honest with yourself and with God. And go to Him and talk to Him out loud by yourself. Get that thing right. First step in getting right with God is realizing and accepting the fact that God is right. The second step in getting right with God, see, you're going to, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Number one, he's right. Number two, surrender. Before you do anything, admit God, you're right. And then you don't know what God's going to show you, right? You have no idea. Is God, his ways are high above your ways, and you want to get right with God, that sort of thing. You have absolutely no idea what God is going to put on you. So before you get to that point, you know what you got to do? You got to surrender. Have you ever surrendered to Jesus Christ in your life? Have you ever, I'll pray and say, Lord, the best way I know how. See, why do you say that? Because my heart's wicked. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't even know my own heart. I say, God, best way I know how, as far as I know, there's no corner, there's no place in my heart where I've reserved it for me. Lord, whatever you want, here am I. And surrender. Have you ever surrendered to your God? Have you ever verbally just you and Him? If you haven't done that, why haven't you done that? Well, I don't know what He might. Would you just trust Him? You're trusting Him to get you to heaven, aren't you? Well, yeah, sure. You know, I'll trust Him to get me to heaven. Why don't you trust Him now? Why don't you trust Him with your life down here? Why don't you say, Lord, here's a blank check. Write it for whatever you want. You need to do that. You need to do that. I surrender all. Have you ever done that? You need to stop. 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 And surrender. Just set everything aside. Best way you know how. Lord, whatever you want. Here am I. You say, surrender how? Oh, like Isaiah. He said, here am I, send me. Have you ever prayed that? Well, yeah. What's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you afraid of trusting God? You want to get right with God? You need to pray and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Well, I'm too old. No, you're not. You're not. I mean, when one guy went to Africa in his 90s, C.T. Studd went to Africa on a bicycle in his 60s. I'm about ready to turn 60. Can you imagine that? And it wasn't one of these, you know, 21-speed ultralight, you know, cushion tire, you know. I mean, it was an old, heavy steel bicycle. He rode a bicycle when he was in his 60s to the center of Africa. Have you ever said, Lord, here am I, send me? And the best way you know how, meant it. If you haven't done that, why haven't you done that? You need to do that. You really do. Amen, amen, amen. I mean, Isaiah's there. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. This train filled the temple. Man, you know what? If we would get a glimpse of God, if we would get a glimpse of God, I mean, pastors up here talking about that brigadier general, just the description wanted me to go, it's her, you know. Well, how much more God? How much more the King of Glory? If you get a glimpse of Him, say, You want something done? Lord, can I do it for you, please? Oh, man, if we got a glimpse of God. Have you ever prayed and said, Lord, here am I. Send me. You need to do that. Maybe you need to surrender to sickness. Who is that? Well, that's the Apostle Paul. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. What? 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 Most gladly? Glory to God, my voice gave out. I'm preaching it myself right now. I didn't do that today. But he said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Oh, man. Have you surrendered to sickness and said, Lord, if you don't ever want me to get well, thy will be done? I had to pray that when my voice was real bad. I said, God, if this is where you want me, if I never get my voice back, thy will be done. Whatever you want. I don't know. But maybe you need to surrender to sickness. There's been some that have. I told about Mrs. Gibbs today in that sermon. I mean, it's an absolutely phenomenal story. It's absolutely amazing. If you get the chance, the title of the sermon is The Secret Place. And it's by David Gibbs on YouTube. And just to listen to that story is just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. A woman paralyzed from the neck down, and then God used her in that Sunday school. Just absolutely amazing. But she said, he doeth all things well. He doeth all things well. You've lost your health. You're never going to walk again. At times you're in pain. He doeth all things well. What's that? Surrendered to sickness. And God said, I can use that. You say, why? Because there's no doubt it was God. No doubt whatsoever. Maybe you have surrendered to that. Maybe that's not yours. Maybe you need to surrender to poverty and loneliness. You say, what? Who's that? That's Ruth. I mean, Ruth's over there. Naomi's in Moab. And her sister Orpah's there, and her husband dies. If you know the story, read in the book in the Bible. And Orpah goes back to her people, and Ruth's heading home because they got bread. And Naomi's heading home, and Ruth has fallen. She said, go back to your people. I don't have any more sons in my womb. Would you wait? You know, on and on. Ruth is looking at never being married, never having any children, and being in poverty for the rest of her life. When she says, and Ruth says to her, entreat me not to go back. She said, whether thou goest, will I go. Whether thou lodgest, will I lodge. Thy people should be my people. Thy God, my God. I mean, it goes on. I forget how that all that goes. And she ends up in the line of Christ. But she surrendered to poverty and loneliness. Maybe that's not yours, but then there's Esther. And she said, fast and pray, but if I perish, I perish. And surrender to death. Have you ever surrendered to your Savior and said, not my will, but thine be done? Jesus Christ did. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Did you notice in Gethsemane, two wills? The Father's will and the Son's will. You say, I thought he was God. He was. He is. But he was a man. You got two wills in play there. And he said, not my will. You say, what's my will? That's Lucifer. I will ascend. I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High. I'll exalt my throne above the heights of the clouds. I will. I will. I will. When you're doing that, I will do this. I will. I will. You're acting like the devil. When you say, not my will. Oh, this old flesh doesn't like that. Ooh, it doesn't like that. Not my will. Thine be done. That's it. That's it. If you're going to get right with God, number one, realize He's right. He's right. There's no question. But if there's something in there that's churning, you need to wrestle with God. I got a sermon. I'm not going to preach it tonight, but it's called Arguing with God. Do you know there's men in the Bible that argued with God? And some of them won. They won their argument. And some of them lost. But they argued with God. And maybe you need to get alone and you and the Lord just have it out. Let Him win. You'll be better. You'll be glad you did. But God's right. Number two, surrender. Whatever God's going to show you, surrender. Lord, here am I. And I'm a mess. But God, whatever you want with me, if you can use me. Do you realize what a privilege that is? That God would use you to something through you. You want to hear my life's ambition? My life's ambition. This is my life's ambition. The Bible says, it was in the bulletin, I believe, today, having a desire to depart. No, it was in the hymnal, I think. But having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, I've got that desire. I want to get out of here. So my life's ambition is, Lord, show me what you want me to do so I can hurry up and get it done so I can go. That's my life's ambition. That's it right there. And it's just like, let me thank you for the privilege. And I want to do the very best I can, Lord, and do all the work you want me to do so I can be found faithful. And then once I can get all that done, then I can get out of here. There's nothing down here I want. I want to go home. But you take God's right, surrender. Thirdly, all right, you've acknowledged, okay, Lord, you're right. I've wrestled with you. You're right. You know what you're doing. God, whatever you show me, whatever you're going to deal with me about, Lord, best way I know, I'm surrendered. Number three, pray and ask the Lord, God, where am I not right with you? Do you ever pray that? You know, the psalmist said, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Have you ever prayed that? Oh, I remember for years. And I don't know why some guy said to me early on when I got saved, he said, Oh, did you ever pray, Lord, show you your sins? I'm like, well, I never thought about it. He said, oh, don't do that. Oh, that's a scary prayer. So for many, many years, I'm like, oh, I don't want to pray that. Not anymore. I pray it all the time. Say, God, show me where I'm wrong. God, show me where I'm wrong. God, I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right with you. Lord, if there's anything in my heart, if there's anything in my life, Lord, if there's anything, God, show me. I want to get it right with you. I don't want anything between me and my God. I don't want error. I don't want deception. You know what that Bible says? Be not deceived. You know what that means? If you're deceived, it's a sin. Right? Is that a command? Be not deceived. All right? If you're deceived, that's sin. Amen, amen, amen. I want the truth. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. It's amazing how people are. And I wasn't always this way. God's been dealing with me. I got a long way to go, I guarantee you that. But look at 1 Corinthians. In chapter 13, that's a big charity chapter, phenomenal chapter, they all are. But notice in 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 6, talking about charity. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. If it's true, and it hits me, And it hits you. If I have charity and you have charity, I'll rejoice in that. Say, man, I never saw that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for showing me where I'm wrong. Man, that ought to be the attitude. You need to pray and say, God, show me where I'm wrong. Please deal with me. You know, there was a rich young ruler. Excuse me. Came to Jesus. He said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. He says, thou knowest the commandments. He said, which? He said, you know, do not commit adultery, do not commit, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, do no lie, you know, honor thy father and thy mother. And he lists them there. And that young man, he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus, he goes, okay. And he went, right there. He said, go sell that you have, give to the poor. Come follow me.
Ooh.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that hurt. Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Have you ever prayed and said, Lord, put your finger, whatever it is, that thing right there. God, show me where I'm wrong. Show me, Lord. If you want to get right, you got to acknowledge he's right. You got to surrender. You got to pray. You have no idea what he's going to show you. But don't, I mean, you fear God. You understand? You fear God, but nevertheless, don't fear him as if he's a tyrant. He's a good God. He's a loving Father. He loves you. Amen? So don't fear him in the sense, the wrong kind. There's a fear of God, but don't fear having God work on you. Hebrews 12 says, he's doing it for your good, for your profit. I mean, what did I profit God? I didn't profit God. I profited from God, but what did he profit? He just got a mess. He'd been trying to straighten it out. Don't be afraid to have God work on your heart. I mean, there's a will for you. There's work to be done. And it's not a listening for a voice. It's not, God, show me where I'm wrong. No, but God will deal with you. God will convict you. Whether it's in a sermon, whether it's in your Bible reading or whatever way, God will work on you. And there's many a time I say, Lord, where I'm deceived, I know you've shown me, but I didn't see it. God, would you show me again in a way that I could get it? And I'm honest, man. I mean, I think Pursuit's back there. But when you go 13 years, you try to pastor four times, and all four times it's an absolute disaster. I mean, a mess. And I remember each time the church folded, I mean, it was just an absolute mess. I'm going, God, will you show me what's going on? And he had this billboard. It was gigantic. And it said, you are not a pastor. And I'm like, God, I don't know what's going on. And though I had church after church, after four times, finally, I don't think I'm a pastor. He's like, ha, yes. I mean, it wasn't a voice, but there was something from heaven went, well, it's about time you got that. You know, I remember that specifically. I mean, I'm not exaggerating there. But you take, I didn't see it. I just didn't see it. Very, very slow to recognize it, that sort of thing. And so pray, say, Lord, show me where I'm wrong. And then last of all, when God shows you where you're wrong, repent. You say, that it? Yeah, that's it. Repent. What do you mean? I mean, when you repent, You change your mind in your outlook towards whatever it is. Repentance. Listen, the Bible says more than once that God repented. Well, he wasn't repenting from sin. God doesn't sin. He's holy. But he was getting ready to do something. He repented of it. And it's a change of mind. But when you have a change of mind and it lines up with God, you'll never look at it the same way. It'll never be the same. If it's sin, you'll never enjoy it like you used to. You can't, because you know it's grieving God. And you'll be like, Lord, help me to repent. Help me to not do it, that sort of thing. And you may give into the flesh and fall and get up. You got to confess it and go on. But when God shows you where you're wrong, repent. I don't understand people why that's so hard. But they just have time with it. It's the pride. I know it's the pride. I understand that. But God's going to deal with you in this age. Go to Revelation 3. Look at Revelation 3. We're in Laodicea. It's the last days. Lord's coming. And we're going. Praise God. And let's go. Amen. But notice now this is my own opinion. In Philadelphia, the theme of Philadelphia is go. It's the harvest. Go. In Laodicea, now we're to win souls. I'm not saying we're not supposed to win souls. But in Laodicea, in this age, you know what the goal is? Walk with God. Keep your fellowship with the Lord close. Because there is so much sin around us. It is just very, very easy to get into sin nowadays. I mean, one click. There it is. I mean, very, very easy to get into sin. There's all kinds of deceptions going on. And so look at what he says there in verse 19. As many as I love. That's an ominous statement there. I rebuke and chasten. There's some Christians, Lord, just let them go. Okay. I think there's some Christians, the Lord, in so many words, I say, Lord, would you just leave me alone? He said, have it your way. And they go, and they end up in a mess. Boy, I don't want God to leave me alone. Boy, I don't want God to leave me alone. But he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. When you get rebuked in Laodicea, that's today. When you get rebuked and when you get chastened, be zealous therefore and repent. In other words, when God shows you you're wrong, Lord, what do I got to do to get right? God, and be zealous about getting right with God. That thing there is just the churches, the people. There's no separation anymore. I mean, in a lot of the churches, I mean, the praise bands and the emergent church and all that junk, it's a mess. You can't tell a difference between the world and the church. It's all an amalgamation, and it's an apostate mess. And the Lord says, if there's an individual that wants me, I want them. And will you be zealous, therefore, and repent? When God deals with you, you pray, Lord, show me where I'm wrong. Show me, God, what in my life, what in my walk, what am I doing that's grieving you? Show me, repent. Get that thing right with God. You see, what's the result? In this life, peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. Just a rest and a peace and a fellowship with God that is extremely therapeutic. You say, what do you mean? Well, you won't need the tranquilizers, you know, the Librium and the Valium and Prozac and Jack Daniels and medical marijuana. And You say, oh, well, it's all around, folks. It's all around. And it's just there. And that peace with God, it just helped you get through that thing. And the most important of all, to hear your Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You'll hear that if you get right with God. And make it all worth it. It really will. Realize God's right. Surrender to whatever He's going to show you. Ask Him, Lord, where am I wrong? And when He shows you, repent. And that is how to get right with God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, God, You'd bless this sermon. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to get right with Thee, to serve Thee, to love Thee. God, help us to realize it's not about us. Our life is not about us. It shouldn't be. It's all about You. What's Your will? What's Your desire? Father, I pray You'd speak to hearts. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight, and in down in their heart, there's something churning. There's something burning down in there. They're upset with You. Just something going on there. Lord, I pray tonight they'd acknowledge it. God, I pray they'd just take that step and acknowledge it. Say, God, I'm upset. And I pray, God, they'd wrestle with You. Get to the point where they got the victory. Realize, God, You're right. You're right. Lord, whatever the need is tonight, please work and move. We need You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.